They don't want, like, you know, the political influence into the whole model. So when someone is interested in coming to the shed, they can come and then they are registered. And because it's a movement, somehow the recruitment is happening through the press, because it's just like, you know, there is a shed there and men want to be involved. So we find the recruitment into the men's shed, it's just happening spontaneously at the moment.
Who manages it?
Men, just themselves. They don't want, like, you know, to have a constitution or have directors of boards. They will just want to be, if they are 15, they started, whoever comes on board just joins them. So they want to make it remain as natural without undue influence as possible.
Is this a state or a national? Is it nationally run?
National, yeah.
And what, like?
It is really a large movement. Like, that's what we started in 2005. We now have more than 200 sheds, and they are growing at about 4 sheds a week. Yeah.
You know, I'm a physician, and I work on the preservation, and I'm a Navajo. I've been through wars in the past, and I take care of a lot of patients. And what you're talking about is very important, because, you know, our men, like you said, they don't talk unless they're in a safe place. They lose a lot of food. So what we have is sweat lodge. Sweat lodge is basically a place where you pray, and you can talk about whatever you want. So it's basically a hut covered in the middle of the fire. A fire that's, the rocks are, they're heated up till they're red. They bring them to the hut. And then people go there. You're basically, some of them come in naked, because that's how, when you go there, you don't have to hide. You go to the start place, and there's somebody that's feeding the main person. They call him the drum man. He can sound the drum, he sings, he prays, but he talks about everything. Like, these soldiers are coming back from the wars, and look up the injured minds, and the men around it, we sit shoulder to shoulder, but nobody's above each other, we're all equal. Like you said, okay, we risk the shoulder to shoulder,
yeah.
Naked, and talk about it. They cry, and they get back. And it's a safe place. And since I'm a physician, I brought up prostate cancer, not just BPH, and it's a good game, you know, everybody laughs. Or they come later, they ask me for Viagra. They always say, can I have that grand pill? They quake with them if they have a lot of livestock. Can you give me your, can I get on the grand pill? So, you know, I might be happy. So what you're saying is very valid. We still have my community. So I applaud what you do.
Thank you very much. It's really good to hear it from a physician.
Okay, so Luckman will also be speaking on some other work that he's been working on with Professor McDonald. So he's just going to hit on some of the main points from Mr. McDonald's presentation.
Yep. So I'm just going to talk about the National Men's Health Policy in Australia, its development in the context of a study on suicide that Professor McDonald was involved in. I only had very little involvement in here, and happy to answer any questions, but I will give you the direct contact for Professor McDonald if anyone has got any interest in contacting him about this work. So it's really linking with what I was just saying, that for some reason the tragedy of 5 men dying a day, killing themselves a day, has not taken the nation to any large extent, attention to any large extent, as has been pointed out, that maybe if it were five whales dying, someone would have started to, you know, bring it to the attention of the authorities. With a population of about 22 million in Australia, we care so much about, you know, the mammals, that at the moment we have Japan on their toes in the International Criminal Court because they are killing our whales, but we don't mind about our men dying every day. The National Male Health Policy actually builds on the strengths of Australian men. So instead of really looking at men's health from a biological model, it looks at the strengths. What are the things that promote men's health? So prior to the male health policy, the focus really was on either the prostate, erectile dysfunction, or physical pathologies, what Professor Banks was talking about, or what makes men ill, masculinity. Men do not go to the doctor, men don't get in touch with their feelings. So all that male behaving badly syndrome was what characterized men's health, or the definition of men's health in Australia. So the policy really was a watershed in that it forcefully detected that we need male-friendly services. And for the first time, there was that cultural shift where, in as much as it really adopted from the women's policy, it started to say, let's look at the context of men's lives, the context of men's lives and the impact that it has on their health. For example, their work, are they employed? If they're employed, is their work environment conducive? Their financial situations, their relationship with their children, especially there was quite a lot. There was a recent at the time study in Australia that showed men after they divorced had difficulties accessing their children, and that contributed quite a lot to high number of suicide and other diseases. So the policy adopted the social determinants of men's health. It started to identify, like, you know, social support, transport, stress, early life, and all those other social determinants of health that the World Health Organization has actually advanced. So, Professor McDonald then went on to undertake a study really on pathways to despair, what leads men to commit suicide, to despair. And this was really to back up the impact of social determinants of health in framing the Australian National Men Health Policy. And this study really focused on the life context of male suicide. It accounted on selected men who attempted suicide or members of the family who had a man die. There were about 18 in-depth interviews with men who actually attempted suicide. I'm not going to go through really in detail, but that study is available on the University of Western Sydney under Men's Health Information and Resource Centre. And Professor McDonald is very much happy to share it with colleagues. But I'll probably just go into talk about the framework and then the findings. The study adopted the World Health Organization ecological model on a multi-level approach, so it included individual, relationship, and community and societal. So that's the World Health Organization ecological model. So the study revealed that often there is not one single factor at play to despair or committing suicide, but rather there are several interacting factors one upon the other, and most of them were actually the social determinants of health, like lack of friendship, stress, etc., that put men at risk of suicide. And the themes that actually emerge, putting them within the World Health Organization ecological categories, related to, from a community level, it was work-related issues, men having stress at work. Individual levels, it was drug use or alcohol abuse. And then from individual and societal level, it was the psychosocial health, and then the adverse childhood experiences, including school, were individual factors. And at a relationship level, it was the relationship strain, especially post-divorce, that men reported. And from the support people, the family, they also came up with the same things, really, around individual level, drug, community level, work-related, and then relationship was relationship strain, as well as problems with mental health for society. So as you can see, each of these factors really is important on its own, but it is they are cumulative. They've got a cumulative effect one upon the other. And though the study also wanted to build on the strengths of Australian men, so they had to look at what else, like, you know, can be done to contribute to preventing suicide in men. So the capacity of individuals to be resilient, they looked at the social connections with the family, social connections with religion, social connections with family, those outside the family. So the studies support the view that adverse life experiences, such as those to do with work, psychosocial issues, drugs, alcohol, two significant factors that neglect, abuse in childhood, and unsupportive early childhood environment can have on the lasting deleterious effect on adult life. So the data really shows that loss and conflict associated with relationship breakdown can lead to men into despair and actually committing suicide, including decreasing, making men susceptible to a lot of conditions, because strong social support has been known to build resiliency. So to conclude, of course the study is a small one, and as always, one should be careful about generalizing this. However, it did cast some light into the mental health of men, and did support why Australia should adopt a policy that is driven from a social determinant of health point of view. So if really anyone wants to ask me any questions, I'm happy to answer some questions, but those are the major points really for that presentation.